Hey. This is the CJ Morgan Show.
Hey.
CJ Morgan Show.
Hey.
This is the CJ Morgan Show.
Hey.
That's right. It's the show. We're here and we're excited. And last night, I kind of felt like a proud but sad dad because I was worried about Matt Bearden. You did your first. Your first ever stand-up comedy. You did an open mic.
I understand what you're trying to get at.
Last night, and I know we surprised you yesterday.
You did. It was
with
nice.
Some guests. But how'd it go? How was doing that for the first time?
I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to belittle what I do and call it the first time. It was fun to get back up there. It really was.
That's good. Yeah, you haven't done stand-up comedy, which if people don't know, Matt is a longtime stand-up comic, and I don't mean like how everyone in Austin's a stand-up comic.
Yeah. You've toured, you've been on Comedy Central.
You got paid money to be on stage for more than 5 minutes.
It was a great living for a very long time. I had some kids, and I wanted to be closer to home, so I tried to plant here in Austin. Because,
and then
frankly,
the pando happened.
Yeah, the pando happened, the stroke happened, all that stuff, and I hadn't been on stage for 4 years, and I'm going to be honest with you, I hadn't planned on going back, just because the longest break I'd taken in 20 years of doing stand-up was maybe 6 days.
And I don't know if you know this, but I listen to a lot of podcasts with stand-ups.
Oh, okay.
Mark
cool.
Maron, Joe Rogan, just to name a few of my friends. And a lot of stand-ups do talk about how difficult it is, how you build up that, like, what's the fighting thing? The ring rust a lot quicker for stand-up. Like, it's something you got to do almost every night.
Yeah, I mean, last night, I did get very nervous, and then I remembered yesterday afternoon, I was like, oh, this is really only important to me, not to the audience. There are strangers who are there, and I'm just doing an opening set, and they don't care.
They're there to laugh, right? They're kind of on your side. They want you to make them laugh.
No, not necessarily when you're an opener. The thing is that the stakes are low because they don't care whether I'm good or bad. They expect me to be bad. I'm the opener. So
it's also,
it relaxed me quite a bit, and I had fun.
I was going to say, when it comes to doing stuff like that, and I know we're talking about being on stage, and I'll talk about some of my experiences, but, you know, if you're listening, if you're out there, you've had to give a presentation at work, you've had to speak at your kid's school, like, there's some moment where you've had to do this, and one of the things, you kind of touched on it, not intentionally, but I've thought this before, because we all know I'm kind of a wallflower. I don't really look for attention or seek it.
Oh, right, right, right. But I forgot that about you.
There is something kind of profound when you're doing that, when you're on stage or whatever, and you're like, oh, this isn't about me. This is not about me. It's about my work. It's about the audience.
It's an important lesson to learn early in any kind of...
It kind of flips it, and it's like, oh, so what if I'm bad? Like, you know, do the best job I can for them. I'm getting paid to do this, or I've been asked to do this, or it's not about me.
It was nice getting
out. Takes the pressure off.
Yeah, what was a little tough is I had been very fortunate. My career had gone in a way that I had wanted it to. And so, honestly, once you're the headliner and people are paying to see you, it's a little easier. They're excited to see you. Last night I was going up, and I hadn't been an opener that nobody knows in 20 years.
Whoa.
So to get back to that all of a sudden is a weird feeling where you're like, oh, I'm a stranger to everyone here, and I have to earn their respect all over again. But what was great, the jokes weren't great, and I don't have any big popping jokes yet in my writing.
My girlfriend?
But what I do have is, I was like, I have my legs again. Like, I could feel very quickly, I was like, oh, I know how to do rhythm again. And that part was fun for me.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy being on stage. I hate it. I get angry. Do you do this where you get, Matt, Spencer's also, you know, you've done improv, you've done comedy, like, you've been on stage.
I dabbled with open
you
mic
did a little stand more dabble.
Up a few years, 10 years ago, jeez.
I always have this thing, and I get so GD mad at myself. I'm doing it now because we were just talking off air with some of the people. Sunday, I'm going to Kite Fest. I do an alter ego DJ thing where I make fun of house DJs, but I do play good music. I'm getting paid to go DJ Kite Fest in the VIP.
I think it's excellent. I think it's really cool.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm literally mad at myself. Why? Anytime I volunteer, like Matt's had me on shows, my fiance who's a comic and producer's had me. Anytime I have to go up on stage, I'm mad. I'm angry about it. This is stupid. I'm stressed all week.
No.
The day of, I'm getting so mad.
No.
But here's the thing. The moment I get off stage, I'm like, that went by too fast. I want to get up there again. I want more. That was great. I'm so happy I did this.
You're angry and you're anxious and frustrated because you want to.
I just had this discussion with my daughter, who is just now in her very first season of doing track, and she talked about the nerves. And I said, look, the nerves are your friend. You can't forget that adrenaline is there to get you away from the tiger. And channel all of that. And when you hear the starter's pistol go off, channel all that fear and adrenaline into your legs and go. And it's a good lesson for anyone out there. Whether you're giving a presentation at work or you're going up on stage or anything, that fear helps drive us on the daily.
It's meant to keep us alive.
Yeah, it's not something, it doesn't feel good at the time, but if you remember in the back of your head, oh, this fear is going to make what I do better, it becomes your friend.
Yeah, Matt, congratulations. Welcome back to the world of stand-up.
Oh, and, I'm taking another 4 years
off.
Well,
no, I was actually very excited to announce that I am producing the C.J. Morgan one-act play, one-person show.
Oh, wow.
And I would love to have you open for it.
Sounds great.
Okay, sounds very exciting. Look forward to that. And 101-er. All right, let's take today's sports segment to fight amongst Matt and myself, and hopefully it will result in a bit of peace about something he's bitching about nonstop every time we bring up sports. Well, what about the two dinners you owe me? Cool, yeah, come meet me. Come hang out sometime. Get out of your house. Respond to my text. Look at him. He's over there on TikTok right now, not even paying attention.
Wow. I was just trying to check out the new dance moves.
You also turned on the mic before we were ready. I didn't know what was happening.
Here's the deal. Matt and I have talked about this all week. We agreed that our dartboard brackets were going to be a $100 bet.
Yeah.
Let me play the recap of the audio of Matt agreeing to the bet.
Very first dart throw, my very first hit was UConn, and that is the only one in there.
That's keeping you in.
The only thing keeping me alive.
Keeping my head
but
above
yeah,
water
we bet $100 on that.
We did?
Yeah, don't you remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're just saying that because you have a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
So when Matt thought he had a better chance of winning, when we were down to the final four, Matt has a 75% chance of winning the whole thing.
100%.
He still said, yeah, it's $100. Let's do it.
100% chance of winning.
No, you had a... If UConn won, which was the only team I had left in the Final Four, I would win.
Let's go back and play the whole interview where you talk about, oh, if I change the scoring, then I can make it more interesting and possibly tie, is what you technically said. So that's why when you said we bet $100 ago, we did? Oh, yeah, we did. You could hear it. You had to slow it down so you could change the inflection. But I understand.
The way it works is you had a 75% chance of winning $100. You did.
100% chance.
And you said you changed the scoring, and it should be. There's no way, because you did, Matt. Okay, you had more teams.
Play the other part where we talk about the scoring, and you say, well, I could possibly tie if I win.
It was already changed. No, I said this.
Why not?
I said the championship scoring was changed so it wouldn't end up in a tie. But we did that before there were results. We didn't do it afterwards. We did it to make it more interesting.
Do I have to literally sit here and like write down every single rule that you guys come up with
you
before?
Don't, because the podcast is available and I can go pull it and play it back for them.
Also, you said that you had more teams, therefore you should have more points. And yes, you did have more points, but here's the way these brackets work. What you don't understand, and I've pulled up ESPN's bracket. This is kind of what we were fighting about yesterday to show you how the brackets work.
Okay.
In round one, you get 10 points per game you've won. In the Sweet 16, you get 20 points per team that advances. In the Elite Eight, you get 40 points per team that advances. If you win out, if you get 320 points if you pick the champion.
Okay.
Like, it goes up every round.
You never mentioned ESPN before today, if I recall correctly.
But I mentioned the brackets.
Spencer,
I mentioned
you
how.
You have to get yourself in trouble. Okay?
Yeah, you're right. I'll shut up.
Well, I mean, Spencer never takes my side anyways.
That's
it's
not true.
All
no, he
dumb
takes
coyote
the
thing.
That's true. Thank you.
It's how you do brackets, though. It's what I'm saying is
you don't get 20 points in one round and 40 points in the next round. They're letting you know if you win that one, you'll have 20 points. If you win the second one, you'll have 40 points.
It's common knowledge. If you play sports in brackets, that's how brackets work. You get an increasing amount of points for every round you win. And that's what happens here. It says 1-3-5-9. You get 1 point for every team that advances past
When did you write that down?
I wrote that down before it started, before the bracket, before the Sweet 16 started.
Why do I see 6 points versus 14 points on there?
Also, if I was going to cheat, why would I take the time to add things up?
I'm asking you why I see 6 points versus 14 points.
Because before the championship game, you had 14 points.
Okay.
Okay? I had 6 points, which means for me to beat you, UConn would have to first go to the championship game, which gives them 5 points, also gives you 5 points. That means you have 19 and I have 11. If UConn wins, I then get 9 points.
So 9,
which I add to 11, which makes it 20,
which means
I win 20-19.
You're not speaking German. You mean full 9 points, not no points?
Yes. Okay.
Just clarifying.
So, Matt, here's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just to make it easy.
I don't know where the 11. I'm confused as to where the 11 points is coming
because
from.
Because UConn advanced to the title game, so that gives them 5 points.
Okay.
Okay.
He's getting
you
upset.
You also got 5 points for Purdue advancing, so you have
folks,
19 points. To my 11.
He stood up and went away from
all
the
right,
mic.
And
yeah.
Then
he's upset.
UConn won.
He's pointing at the chart.
So they get 9 points.
Okay.
0 points or?
You
sorry,
had,
I forgot.
Dude, you had a 75% chance of winning, and you're trying to be not an Englishman, not a Scots, not an Irish. You're trying to be a Welsh.
What
you're trying to
mean?
Get out
hey,
of this
dude,
bet.
I got Welsh ancestry. Don't you dare.
Okay, well,
whatever that means.
I'll tell you what. When am I supposed to pay you this $100?
That's what I'm saying. We mark one. I owe you 2 dinners. You owe me $100. I'll say that
one
it's $50.
One of the dinners you've owed me for over a year.
$50 per
over a year. So I'll pay you the
$100 per dinner.
I'll pay you the $100 when I feel like paying you. Maybe
no,
one or 2 years.
No, what I'm saying is we just squash it. No more dinners.
I don't want to squash it.
Okay.
I want you to take me on these dinners.
No more dinners, no more. Okay, give me $100 and I'll take you on 2 dinners real quick.
That's how it works. I won the two dinners previously.
Guys, can
we
I
got,
to,
we
can
gotta
I come
figure
to...
this out.
We're not actually fighting.
Oh.
He's very angry and he's showing himself to be a bad sport. When he's not surrounded in full Renaissance fair armor, he gets awfully tough, doesn't he?
Oh man. Guys, I would like to continue the rest of the show today, so please, can we calm down a little bit?
Do I seem upset?
I just want a solution to this.
Somebody seems very upset. I'm not going to say who.
I want to figure this out. Get a solution. But no, instead we're going to keep talking about it. You know, I got another thing to fight with you about. You want to come back and do that?
Oh, good.
It's going to happen.
Today's your fight day. You go, let's get it all out today. It's much safer to let your child watch something you're iffy about.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
It's the Parent Pickup with our friend Matt Bearden. And give me the word on this, because my parents had an interesting philosophy that I kind of put together from me being raised, and I turned out all right.
Yeah, this is coming from a sociologist who says it's much safer to let your child watch something you're iffy about and then discuss it together rather than have the child watch things secretly and not have an adult to help them process it at all.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's coming from a discussion about pushback over screen time, which is probably one of the number one things that parents have to deal with. And I think, honestly, even folks out there who listen to the Parent Pickup and don't have kids, I think we all internally struggle
even,
with this,
even
too.
With yourself, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all know, hey, I probably should not have spent that hour and a half doom scrolling.
Yeah.
And we've all done it anyway,
or
do you know what I mean?
Even little things, like we're making adjustments in our life to where my fiance, if she can't sleep, she's picking up the Kindle instead of the phone. My therapist suggested I start reading books instead of reading books on my phone. But,
right.
Yeah, I bet screen time is one of the biggest fights of modern child rearing.
It's not always a fight in my house. We've tried to be very structured with it. And what's funny is we're very different with it with my two children because we've kind of structured it around what their personalities are about. My daughter behaves
being
a lot more
children
like...
children of a loser?
My daughter behaves a lot more like maybe stereotypically you would expect. Her outward appearance and what others think of her is much more important than my son holds those things at his age in regard. So we've been very careful about how she can interact with certain kinds of social media. But this guy's saying, hey, the number one fight that psychologists see or therapists see when kids go to see them is they're saying, hey, my parents won't let me. My parents keep trying to bark at me about screen time. It's driving me crazy.
Okay.
And I think we do that for a reason. I think we do it to ourselves for a reason, too. We know deep down inside, oh, we've literally all been handed crack cocaine,
yes.
Right? Gen Z has grown up their entire lives with crack cocaine. And when we were younger, phones weren't absolutely, they might have been coming into the norm. They weren't 100% necessary for almost survival,
I was
access to all this content was nowhere near as quick or as easy. So, yeah, it's really like almost shooting directly into their veins, essentially, as they wake up in the morning.
It happens super fast. I was in high school. When I started high school, you had pagers if you wanted to be that guy. And then by the end, it was kind of those Nokia phones you could play Snake on. So
then dial-up internet, AOL stuff, and where you had to wait till someone's not on the phone.
I mean, it's not even people who my age who have kids. It's people my age who have little brothers and sisters that's how fast the iPhone changed everything.
Well, and parents went very quickly from saying, oh, our kids, we really have to watch, to then also saying, but I also want to be in touch with my children, so I'm the one who gave them the phone when they were whatever age it was.
God, it's easy to give them the phone.
I know, and the big thing that some of these therapists bring up is that, hey, when you give a child a phone and then you say, but I'm going to track everything you do on that phone, you are encouraging your child to
find a way to
lie
to
you, because you're encouraging them to dupe you in using their friend's phone, creating fake accounts, somehow going around you and the blocks that you've put there. You're actually driving a wedge in between you and your child. And now, saying that, it's still really hard to do.
And I want to say, like, with my parents' kind of philosophy, when it came to taboo subjects, material, movies, songs, drugs, anything like that, they kind of took that open talk about it approach. You know, I think when you ban something or say you are not allowed to do this, it makes you want to do it more for some people. So I think there's that psychological thing. But again, they were very open with me about stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it made it to where I wasn't getting into as much trouble as some of my friends, because I knew
that there's less of a taboo for you, right? Is
that what you mean? I knew what marijuana and other stuff and alcohol and whatnot kind of did. And I knew that if I did it, I would be in trouble, but I'm not going to get like in too much. And I knew what to look out for. They just kind of educated me and talked me through it. And I think that's one of the things that I saw it this weekend with my friend's kids. They were watching a video on TikTok, and their mom saw it, and they're like, you know, you're not supposed to watch those. And then they talked about it. She's like, why don't I want you watching these? And the kid talked about it, and she explained it. And I was like, oh, that was
healthy.
Well, healthy, surprisingly.
And that kind of leads to it, because I don't want to just say, hey, here's the problem, because every parent knows the problem, and then say nothing else about it. One of these other therapist said, hey, look, we're yelling at our kids because they're spending too much time on the phones, though no kid has ever really had a job at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old and gone out and bought their own phone. It tends to be we gave them access to the phone. We pay for the phone bill. So we're partly to blame. So they're saying, hey, if we're going to go into that situation, we have to have a plan to help them find something else to do. Because a lot of times you yell at your kids, put down your phone and go do something else. But they're like, I don't know what the something else is, because I've grown up in a time when this is the thing.
I'll tell you the plan. Go get a job.
Well, the thing is, and what's important is, you as the parent, or we as the parent, or you as the person who's trying to get yourself to put your own phone down, you have to have the secondary plan. What is the other option? I'm not going to tell people what that is. You got to figure that one out and what works best for you and your family and yourself. But that really is the key.
101X. Well, we're back. We were fighting off air. We're going to keep fighting. Okay. And I told you to save it, because earlier, when we were talking about the bracket and the $100 you owe me and the two dinners I owe you and how I think we should just call it even, and I even offered to call it even and I still owe you a dinner. So $100 for one dinner, but no, you won't do it. You're stubborn, so give me $100 and I'll take you to dinner twice. Anyhow, you said...
No.
Right,
what are you guys fighting?
I've won two dinners. If you take me to the two dinners, I'll pay you the $100.
That's no.
Here's the other thing I'll do.
I need the $100 first.
Here's the other thing we'll do. I will drop both dinners, and I'll pay you the $100. You give me naming rights to the show. It's Matt Bearden's The CJ Morgan Show.
That's actually really funny. Let's make that bet and actually do that.
For one week, it has to come in as you're listening to Matt Bearden's The CJ Morgan Show.
Okay, well, I was making fun of other radio shows the other day, how there's always some third guy that gets all the pranks,
right,
and his name's always like Garf something. And
Spencer's just feeling upset right
now.
No,
we have to change your name to something, but hey, I have another fight.
Okay.
Do you want to start? Because we were going off air.
Can you do me a favor?
Yep.
I noticed that you've dropped your vituperation a bit.
I don't know what that means.
That's a master's level word. Wow.
You know what? That reminds me. There's something I really want to fight with Matt about, but I need Spencer to do some prep work.
Okay, what is it? What do you want to fight
with
me about?
It also might be picking on his brain issue.
What? What's that?
Oh, because of like things I mispronounce?
Yes, you do it all the time.
I
never call you out. I never stop down in the middle of what we're doing to be like, oh, you said da-da-da. And what's...
Well, just so we're clear, he pronounced vituperation correctly.
Let's get to something else.
And used it correctly.
You're allowed to make fun of me on anything.
Now, let's get to something else.
And fight. Hurry up.
What's
fight.
The other thing that you want to get to?
Another thing.
Here on Matt Bearden's The CJ Morgan Show.
That's such a good thing. Well, you know what? Maybe if that's what it is, I'll give you credit for this.
Time for a little click, click, boom.
My favorite part of the morning.
We go through all the clickbait so you don't have to. By the way, that's a TM. There's a little tiny TM next to that.
You were smart to do that.
By the way, that's a TM. There's a little tiny TM next to that. By the way, that's a TM. There's a little tiny TM next to that.
I didn't know you were trademarking things I came up with on your other show.
You've never come up with click, click, boom.
Not click, click, boom, but we click the clickbait so you don't have to, or we click through it so you don't, like,
round
me.
One, fight.
No, I'm not going to share.
I said that. I came up with that.
Not before I came up with we click through the clickbait so you don't have to.
I came up
you
with
came
that.
You came up with something called Clickbait Corner.
Correct, and that was my catchphrase for Clickbait Corner, which predates click, click, boom.
All right, well, I guess that must be where I got it from then.
Okay, good. Well,
it's worked really well.
Well,
thank
never
you.
Mind. This wasn't going to be a big fight after all.
I told you before, to me, the most fun final part round. Of doing radio
fight.
Is when we go at each other, because I don't. Think yeah. you're really being serious, and I don't think you think I'm being serious.
No, I'm not. I actually edited in that sound effect on your show, which you probably heard this morning.
We played it this morning, where it said, "Hey, CJ Morgan,
trademark CJ Morgan."
But we didn't know that you would put it in there, so when we played it, it just played on its own, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah, I was trying to start beef, but I was hoping you would actually.
I wish we'd have more beef between the shows.
Explain to the listener real quick. So that click, click, boom is a sounder, right?
Right.
And then right at the tag end, you come in, like you snuck it into the sounder.
So it sounded like the regular sounder this morning, and it goes click, click, boom. And then it goes, a CJ Morgan production. And
actually, here, I have it right here.
Okay. Click, click,
boom. We go through all the clickbait so you don't have to.
Copyright CJ Morgan Show 2021.
We click the clickbait so you don't have to.
There you go. So that was a new intro.
Yeah. Which I think is perfect.
Which also, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, a lot of my stuff's derivative because you've been on air longer. That morning show and it's in, like, the whole version of it with other hosts, with other people have been on for, like, 35 years.
Whoa.
So a lot of what I've gotten and done, I've taken from that because I'm a fan and I grew up listening.
Don't be nice now.
Well,
it's
no,
more
I want
to
be nice,
to poke
but
at each
it's
other.
Also funny.
Look, it's also ridiculous the idea that I would be on one show on a different station and then be on another show on a completely different... It doesn't happen in
any... No, it's
there's
insane.
No other market in the country where that happens.
And, you know, we both came up...
It's just
up,
that you and I are old school friends, so
yes,
I'm
yeah.
hanging out over here
well,
with you.
We both came up with that clickbait corner and, like, that thing, so I'm not actually upset with it, but it's funny. I have so few things that other people use that one time went across the hall on Matt's other show, they were playing the dub horn, which I did add into the sound effects. The dub horns are mine. I added. This
can
is a CJ Morgan sound effect.
You? Can I say... Does yeah. it make it you feel good to have one of your bits on a number one show finally?
Yeah. Also, I'll say you mentioned you mentioned the thing about like wanting to have more beef with the
yeah,
shows, and
right.
I enjoy it because it's fun. But there are two things why I don't want to do it.
My other partners get upset about it
because your other partners genuinely get upset and don't know if it's real or
so
not.
So what? We're having fun. We're dudes. We're doing what dudes do, which
and,
is to razz
well,
each other and ball bust.
And you guys actually have. People that listen. So over here on the CJ Morgan show, it's
don't
you know,
be that way. It's all there are no rules in radio or war.
It's award season. We are going to a banquet tonight, and Matt and I are both Matt's actually up for two awards for his other show, which
oh, wow.
they won last year. They could win two times in a row.
What's the name of that show? Oh, never mind.
We don't say it here. Beep. So Matt's other show could win 2 years in a row. This year, legitimate. They are the highest rated ever that station's morning show's been.
Yeah.
They're the top in the city, beating out even like Bob FM and NPR, which
oh, wow.
is impossible because You just put that on in the background.
I want to brag, but I also know the reality, which is when you're number one, you're never number one. And when you're number 15, you're never number 15. It is a broken system.
Well, also, when you're number one and they shift everything a month later, they always overcorrect. So then you go to number 15. But things are great and good, and y'all deservingly should win. It does bug me, and I don't mean to keep bringing up fight segments.
Well,
but every
you're pretty testy today, so
y'all keep saying like we'd be the only people to ever win this twice. Bobby Bones won it like 7 years in a row.
We don't bring him up anymore. Okay, he left.
Fair enough. Ann Hudson won it 3 years in a row.
We never said we'd be the only people. We'd say nobody's going to win it twice in a row.
Which I agree. Which screws us. But also if. Our show wins. Spencer and Matt, y'all walk up there with me.
Well, they're not going to let us win because they know Matt's on the show.
You don't have our name on the show, so.
I do.
You call yourself the CJ Morgan Show. Though, we have to remind listeners that this week it's Matt Bearden's the CJ Morgan Show because I bought the naming rights for $100.
For a week,
but also, it's for best personality, right, which is a different thing, and it's just CJ Morgan.
Yeah, but it's the show. It's all of us. And as I said, like Matt also, again, fighting about your other radio show. I wanted this segment to be about how awkward is it. This segment was supposed to be, hey, listener, you guy, the one guy listening, isn't it weird going and doing work stuff at banquets outside with your coworker? But instead, it's going to be another fight.
Yeah.
Matt's on his other show. They all make fun of me. Spencer, they make fun of you, too.
Oh, I know.
You know that?
Yeah.
That's why I don't listen.
I don't know if
you
ever listen over
happy.
There, but we make fun of each other over there as well.
But then
I don't know if you heard this as a comedy show. You know what happens in comedy?
I don't know what doing a funny radio show is, so I don't get it.
Okay.
I'm very literal.
Okay.
They always, every time I'm nominated for award, they're like, yeah, but it's, and they're like, Matt, aren't you on that show? And like, no, they just do CJ. It's CJ's arrogant. CJ only thinks about himself. And that's not it. The reason when I get nominated, when I was a finalist last year for the Chronicle Award, when I was a finalist for this award, when I won this award for Best Waterloo Media Personality.
And you removed our names. What about that?
The thing is, it's CJ Morgan because they don't know I have a show because they don't listen. Otherwise, it would be the CJ Morgan Show. It would be all of us. And the only reason it's named that is because
nobody knows you have a show because you're in the afternoon.
Because no one knows I have a show.
Nobody in the village.
And we shuffle people in and out. Matt's a stroke away from not being on.
Ooh, what kind of stroke?
I'm one constipated poop away from stroking again.
Spencer's a month away from either getting laid off or getting a promotion and moved across the hall.
What?
Like, and then I'll be by myself.
Assume they would treat me better.
How are we going to
move? It's one or the other.
That's we can't move them across the hall. How do we get them through the door?
The whole station will tip. It's weighted to keep them in here.
This is an earthquake-proof building. What are you talking about?
Tonight's going to be exciting, though, because at least I get a present award.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because our company bought a table, so we get to go up there and do it. And I've been thinking about it, and I was going to give, like, a speech about how in news today, when you're competing and no, blah, 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 and I'm like, oh, wait, I just announced the name.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I don't need to.
There is no speech.
I'm not Edward R. Murrow awarding. This isn't the Grammys.
It's so bizarre because it's a room full of media people. So they just talk the whole time. They don't listen to anybody because they like the
Everyone's
sound of their
eating.
Own voice. Yeah. So just get up there and go, hi, the next award is, because you'll do everybody a favor that way. But also, I just want you to know that we do tease you on the other show because I know you like to listen to the podcast, and I know it gets under your skin,
CJ,
and I just do it to razz you and to nipple twist.
Should we get you up there, and should you, I feel like you should drop some of our favorite, like, slogans here.
I should do a bit.
Did you know?
Yeah. Well, but here's
Floppy
the deal.
Plop, plop, ding, donger.
Listen, another thing.
Try to get as many in as you can because we're not winning.
But here's the thing. Matt and his partners make fun of me because they're like, oh, he'll make it all about himself. I've hosted professional things. I know not to make it about me when I go up there. Do you want to hear my impression of me, like, giving the speech?
Yeah.
And from Waterloo Media to present Best Television Personality, here's CJ Morgan. That's a bad sound effect. I thought that was going to be, like, people eating dinner.
It is. Someone just recorded that
it's
on their table.
It's just one guy, like, I'm going to...
Well,
he's putting his forks back in the drawer.
That's what you get from going to totally free sound effects, effect number 208.
I can't afford it. All right, so here we go. And now CJ Morgan's coming up to give the award. Just play.
That's better dinner.
Excuse me. Excuse me. I just want to say that in an age where you have Tim Pool, Joe Rogan, and Alex Jones compete. Excuse me. All right, Quita Coke Pepper. Mosquito season's here. Welcome, gentlemen, to the time when Austin sucks. I said it in late March. I'm like, all right, we're about to get into the golden hour of Austin, which is a little bit of March and a little bit of April, but it's over now. It sucks. Mosquitoes are here, ladies and gentlemen, and due to all the rain last year, for you'll recall, it was late April, May, where we had a lot of June. We had a lot of thunderstorms and rain. But there is a perfect stew of mixing, having March and April rains to where we are going to have a record mosquito season.
Are we really?
Go Austin.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I thought it would be like real chill this year.
Yeah. Unfortunately not. Yeah,
I mean, if we're lucky, right, then it's going to be 90 more consecutive days of over 100-degree weather that cooks them or something and kills them all.
Oh, no, no, that doesn't cook them. I mean, it does help eliminate the ponds and still water, which, by the way.
Huh. Like Spencer, they're dinosaurs. They love steamy, hot weather.
By the way, and I'm not saying this to anyone in particular, Evan, the promotions guy from 101X, but you should tip over all the coolers from tailgate last year that have just been collecting water around the radio station.
Don't put that on him.
Okay. That goes for people.
Sometimes they leave them out in the open and it rains.
He's not talking to anybody, Evan, the promotions guy from 101X. Well, he didn't mention anybody.
Spencer,
Evan.
let's
Evan B from promotions.
Yeah. His parents listen too, so if y'all could remind him when he comes to work next,
or when he gets home
coolers.
To crawl in his bed at 30. Let him know.
Whoa now.
Anyhow.
Oh, did it get too real?
As a reminder to those of you that have propitor or around the house, Spencer, you said, well, it rains and it collects. Yeah. Flip it over, because otherwise what you have are mosquito ponds, and those things will breed. You ever looked in a tire out on a piece of property and there's water in it, and you look in and you're like, oh, those are tadpoles, little baby frogs. No, those are mosquito larvae.
Oh, you can scoop those up real quick and eat them.
Before they can eat me.
Yeah.
But I feel like those things cook really well when I throw the tire in the fire.
Yeah. To keep it going.
Don't forget your fire pole. You got to go find a big old stick.
So it's going to be record mosquito season. So try to do what you can to prevent it. It sucks. I don't know anything that works to really get rid of them.
I thought we on the show encouraged having sex. I guess we're discouraging now because it's mosquitoes.
Yeah, if you suck blood, do you want to get malaria? In military history, that's killed more soldiers than anything else.
Well, I heard they made a pill. You can get rid of it.
Sure.
Sorry, I'm just messing all over this.
Hey, everyone, don't worry about getting bit by mosquitoes. Just take a malaria pill and be sick for like 2 weeks.
It's fun and it itches.
Matt, I want to ask you a question. Not only is it going to be mosquito season, but this year there's something very special as the record number of June bugs are dying off and we're getting ready for all the crickets that are going to pop in September. What else are we looking forward to a record this year?
The Brood X emergence. I'm going to guess that's probably where you're headed.
Absolutely.
The two gigantic 13-year and 17-year cicada broods will be emerging at the same time. This does not happen all the time, but it is going to be very loud with cicadas this summer.
Hate it. Trying to sit in my living room, and I have to keep turning the TV up.
We're not even in one of the cross zones, so it won't be horrendous here. You go up around Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, those areas, it's going to be very loud this summer.
They don't like plague crops, right? That's like the grasshopper
ones.
That's
a locust. And in the South,
people call
cicadas locusts in the South, but a locust tends to look a little more like what we might call a grasshopper.
And if you catch them, they go, I have no problem. I like cicadas if they're not damaging things. The sound reminds me of like home and being a child.
Yeah.
It's good summers. But I will say, Spencer, remember when I called this last year? The first day of summer when it starts getting hot, it's the first evening when you hear the cicadas.
Yeah.
Right now, we're getting mosquitoes. We're getting fireflies, which I do love. They last every season. I'm not a farmer's almanac.
We've seen fireflies most of our life, but isn't there something still a little magical about seeing them?
Yes, I love
them.
Right? The only problem is when you have a big firefly season, in my estimate, you have a big mosquito season. It means you didn't have a big freeze. It means it's been wet and the conditions are right. But
CJ's almanac now on sale, 101x.com.
Pretty much. I'm going to try to find something, and we're going to come right back, and I want to show you my favorite sound that, to me, is just the song of a Texas summer. I love it. So the bugs in nature kind of going to suck. We just talked about how it's mosquito season. They're going to be worse this year. The cicadas are going to be out. But I want to share with y'all something special to me. Just a sound I love that is hill country, that is Texas, that is summer nights. Matt, don't look at the screen. Close your eyes. The sound of the cicada to me was the sound of growing up in Amarillo and the Panhandle, Palo Duro Canyon. It's a little more rugged and arid. But to me, this is the sound of summer in Austin. And I want you to tell me, Matt, as you listen, what this, what exactly okay. this sound
My eyes are
to
closed.
You, what is this sound, the sound of summer in Austin, invoke? All right,
isn't
just
that your bathroom every night?
you got
here
me
it
pretty
is.
Good.
The sound me. Of summer okay. in Austin.
I mean, I know what those are.
It's
toads and frogs.
It's Texas tree frogs. And perhaps my favorite, like, absolute relaxing summer night sound. That's the Rio Grande chirping frog, by the way, which forever I thought was like a bug.
Bug or a bird. We have them in my backyard pretty terribly.
Because you live on a creek.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you've been in Louisiana and you grew up in Houston. But to me, this is a sound of camping on a summer night or hanging out on the back porch with your family and friends, and you just hear these Texas yeah. tree frogs.
After the last freeze of the year and the first little rain, the toads will come out and be very happy. And no one gets more excited than my wife. She builds these little like ceramic toad houses all through our backyard. She
really
she's very close to nature, and she really loves this stuff. She gets so excited.
I do, too. I thought you would be more excited by this.
I don't know. Who doesn't like the sounds of animals trying to
Yeah, that's it. It's just an orgy.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals. So let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Breakfast tacos, the drag, and the CJ Morgan Show, 101X.
You've heard of creating your own destiny, faking it till you make it, but this guy, he went all in.
The internet has never been so easy.
The internet. A man was fired from his job at a museum because he hung up his own painting.
Nice.
I don't.
This is the greatest thing on the internet.
So awesome.
I know.
So
How
awesome.
Is that not just like a slap on the wrist and like, don't do it again?
I guess I've only kind of glanced through it. It happened back February 23rd. He's 51. He's a former technician at the museum. He's saying he might have hoped it helped him break through as an artist. I mean, we work in radio. We've all had. You see a kid that comes here and starts working, and you're like, oh, they don't care about where they have a music career and think working here will help them, which it won't. So they try to slip their songs on air, right. or they're setting up an event, yeah. and instead of putting the tent up like we all do when we're new in the business, they're like, oh, hey, listen to me. Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing. So this guy kind of did that. Got a job at a museum to try to launch his art career, but I still love the way he did it.
I do too.
Hung
do,
up in his own painting.
Did he
painting.
Do it loudly, or did he just kind of quietly put it up and they took a couple days to notice?
From what I understand, it took about, they said they noticed midday, but decided to wait until it closed to take it down. Oh. So it was part of the exhibit for about a full 8 hours. And also what I understand, Spencer's like, well, why did he get fired? Why wouldn't this a wrist slap? I mean, that's totally a fireable thing. If you put your own song on the radio here and you're some, you know, 18-year-old kid that think you're going to be a hip-hop star,
okay.
I get it. But apparently it's because he, like, drilled through the walls and, you know, kind
Stop.
Of...
Stop. Come on. This is
awesome. He created his own space. I agree. It's
amazing.
Awesome.
I love it.
Because I like to do a thing. I don't do
it. Because he snuck it in there. He wasn't just like, hey, can I put it up? He just snuck it in. He said, I was reading about it right now as we're talking. He just put it in like sort of an empty wall. And
yeah.
he didn't take something down to replace it.
Exactly.
He snuck it up. It looked perfectly spaced between everything. They didn't even notice probably for several days.
This is beautifully Gen X, and I'm here to say way to go.
It is the funniest thing. And what sucks is there's no picture, there's no video.
I know.
There's nothing. The Guardian reported it, so you can't even trust that.
They're trying to snub him hard.
But I love it because it makes me think of a CJ prank, Matt. Doesn't it make you think of some of my dumbassness?
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. You hang up art around this building all the time.
You know how we have...
You print it out from the printer, though. It's not exactly
Well, two things that I do. We'll get to my favorite one in a second. But at work, you know how we have like pictures of Ben Folds and it's autographed and says, thanks for playing me ACO radio.
Right.
Ben Folds. So what I did was I printed like a picture of spaghetti and I was like, hey, thanks for eating me. And then autographed it spaghetti and right. framed it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just wanted to see if anyone in the building noticed.
Like, I noticed like the first day. Like, I loved it.
Yeah. Like people, like artists and musicians and celebrities are in our radio set. And they're like, why do they have spaghetti autographs?
It's great.
I just thought it's dumb. But my favorite thing
well,
is.
Well, you also didn't get fired for that. So, I mean.
They don't know I did it.
Ah, well,
don't
now
worry, they
do.
Don't listen.
Now they do.
My other favorite thing, I haven't done this in a while, but I would print, again, having a printer at the radio station that's color. I'd print photos of like me and my friends or family, usually me and my friends here. And you go to Goodwill and you just buy like kind of old frames.
Right.
And then when you're eating at Chili's and you
up.
Know how they have framed pictures and
yeah.
stuff,
yeah,
you
yeah,
just
yeah.
you put
there
it
you
up. Yeah, there's a bar.
Like,
I don't
guys?
Know if it's still there. There's a bar in the Domain. It's like the Irish pub kind of one, pretty big, but it has a bunch of shelves with frames
yeah,
and stuff.
Jack and Ginger.
Jack
I
and
think it's called.
Ginger. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. There's one of me in there. but I just like doing it where no one noticed. It's not harming anything
yeah.
or anyone.
No one's hurt.
It's just silly.
I wish there was a campaign to get this guy's artwork at least somewhere we can look at it and then. I don't know.
I mean,
not
it obviously
pay him,
worked.
But
he
I
did,
like that he did it.
He did get a lot of attention.
Yeah, yeah,
unfortunately,
yeah.
his artwork is all what he calls artistic selfie nudes of himself
Ooh.
From the back. Little backsplash. So
wait.
That's the painting technique.
It was just his butt.
No, it wasn't. I made that up.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Anyhow, kudos to you, sir.
Yeah.
Once again, if you missed the story, a museum fired a guy for hanging up his own painting. And we thought that's hilarious. That's absolutely what you should do if you, hey, you want to go to the LBJ library today?
Let's go right now.
Okay.
It's the CJ Morgan Show on KROX FM, Puta, Austin. 101X.
Hey, creeps, you no longer have to wait.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo wired with Matt Bearden.
Yeah, there's a German artist named Matthias Weff, and he's teamed up with a designer named Benedikt Grosse, and they've created something that they're calling the deepfake camera, dubbed the Nuka, N-U-C-A. And
OnlyFans models are going to love this. They're going to look good on Insta.
It's not for OnlyFans models. It's for weirdos that hang out in parks. That's my belief. And they're really trying their hardest to justify this as some kind of art project. It has a built-in AI. It takes a picture of anyone you take a picture of and instantly, within less than 10 seconds, produces a nude of that person.
Okay. See, that's messed up. I was having this conversation with my lovely girlfriend, my partner. What did I say I was going to call it? My lover.
Your lover.
The other day. And I was telling her, I was explaining to her that...
Oh, your man, you're mansplaining.
This, a picture of a butt mooning someone is not a pervert act. It's funny. If you're doing certain things, if you're doing it in the nature of a pervert,
look,
it's
man.
Not good. Like taking pictures of people in public is pretty much not okay. But if you're doing it to make fun of someone because of a dumb hat or
okay.
they're being a douche or they
question.
Parked bad, it's okay. If you're taking pictures of someone to, like to be sexy, if you're a pervert, it's not okay.
What do you consider pressing your scrotum up against the patio door and then asking me to look at it?
Scrotum's sexual, but if you're doing it with a male...
You did that to me and Chewy one day.
Were y'all at work or my house?
We were at your house.
Okay,
so
that's
it was a
fair game.
Yeah,
sorry,
there's no HR at his house, so stop that, okay?
Go ahead.
Here's the problem. I can take a full frontal picture of anyone that I want to now. Within 10 seconds,
I love
have
that
it.
We had a young female sales person walk in the studios. We're talking about pressing scrotums, being perverts and butts.
Well, she actually didn't hear that part, so
yeah,
you
didn't
it
have
up
to bring that
now.
Up, because now that's an HR violation.
Take a quick take. Scrotums and butts, what do you think? Tell us in the mic. They perverted, or is it funny?
Both.
Okay.
Whoa!
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a working device. They're saying, oh, we're doing this as like a way to like turn a lens on itself. No, I don't think they are. I think they realize that this is kind of a, I think they know what's going on. It's kind of gross and they will get some sales out of it.
Yeah.
The thing is that I you can make the argument, hey, it's not really your naked body, so what's the problem? And it's because you're taking away anyone's consent to be titillating. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I mean, then, we should have some say in it, I'm assuming. I don't think I've ever been titillating to anyone, so I can't really speak to
well,
what
yeah,
that really
it's,
is.
It's weird. It's like, first of all, the whole, and I know even my lover is on Mr. Skin. I know the whole like nude celebrity website thing's big. Then there are the fakes. Then there was the fappening. But the whole just thing is gross to me, especially the fake or, you know, it's the worst, the cartoon ones, but we'll get those are cartoons.
What
but
what happened to using your imagination? I feel like that was part of the thing,
lore.
Using your imagination to then be like, I like that.
I'm not a choir boy here or whatever they call that. I've imagined strangers naked.
Yes.
I'm not a nice person, but I haven't taken a picture of them.
Exactly.
And then
it auto generates.
It just seems like a... you know what? You bring up a good point, which is...
It's going to deter part of that. Like, where's the imagination? Isn't that part of the drive for you to go talk to them and maybe say, hey, you want to go get a coffee?
It's creepy and it's weird, but I got to say, you know, if there... And I feel weird saying this in front of a female coworker that just graduated college, but in my youth, if I were in college right now, it would be a very bizarre thing to mess with people's heads because theoretically, you could see anyone in your classroom nude on the internet.
Right.
Because there's a good chance that they're making extra money doing that, both men and women. To be honest, us men have to work harder. We actually have to do bad things. Oh, I'm just kidding.
What are you talking about?
But so I can get why this might actually be, I'm trying to say, like, in this day and age, this thing might be more normal, or do you still straight up think that young people will also think that this is weird? Because it is. It's gross and
weird. I don't think it's on the Wired tip at all. I think it's kind of weird. But they do make a good point, which is, I mean, I can now take any photograph and run it through an AI filter and generate this. I just think it's one step more to take a camera. I can go in public, and it's almost encouraging me to walk around, take pictures of people.
Like Pokemon, but
everyone should be aware.
One.
I mean, it has brought up awareness, and it will remind you on the daily that anyone can.
I do
want
to do it with the three of us to see what it thinks we look like nude. It would just be kind of funny. But
mommy, is that a pod of whales?
But I mean, use their imagination.
This is just it's interesting that they're even after the whole Taylor Swift controversy that happened with those AI generated fakes that. This is even gonna happen. I don't know, man. The future's scary, and I'm just gonna go home right now, take pictures of myself nude, tasteful, artistically, and put them on the internet. That way, no one can hold anything over me. I'm taking autonomy over my own hairy, chubby, pale body.
Gross.
Ew.
101 Act.
Did you know? There's a lot of letters, but there are only 5 vowels. Unless you count sometimes why. Did you know there are only 2 words in English that have all the vowels in order?
Cool.
Like A-E-I-O-U. Festitiously. That sounded very German. Dang, I had it off air.
Is it facetiously?
It's just like when I know how to say Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa.
Dude, all these things are hard.
Once I go on air,
at least we're not in like a business where we have to say stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Festitiously right. And asked him as, this sucks. Matt, will you do a did you know?
What is did you know? What are we doing here?
I don't know. It's certainly not bumbling words. And I had it off air. I was practicing in my head, and
did
I knew
you know?
How to.
Oh, CJ had this ready to go, but then one of the mics cracked. He couldn't.
I failed abysmally.
It's okay, buddy.
Okay, Matt, what do you know?
Did you know people who eat spicy foods tend to live longer?
Oh, damn it.
I picked one that had really easy words in it, so I looked smart.
Is that because...
That's, dude, we got to stop
you're
asking
right. we
questions.
Don't, we
that,
don't
that's
know.
That's all they give us.
Yep.
Do you know why in the South and like also South America, Central America, why spicy food is part of the cuisine?
No, tell us.
It's because, did you know, the meat would spoil and things would go bad quicker, and so spices were used to pack and keep it longer, and then it just became part of the etin.
Can you save this for our new segment called Here's Why?
Here's
why.
We got to find a goofy way to say it. Okay.
Did you know?
Do we know?
We talked trash about dog owners earlier this week, so here's a nice little light thing about the dogs themselves. Did you know dogs have musical tastes? The Scottish SPCA and University of Glasgow monitored dogs' heart rates while playing different kinds of music and found that most dogs prefer reggae and soft rock, although each individual dog
it's because their owners are getting high.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are the dogs who their owner blew smoke in their ear and held it down.
I'm not a reggae guy, but I love dub, like King Tubby, the scientist, like that real heady, crunchy stuff. That I can get behind all day long. What I can't get behind are drugs. Drugs are bad, and did you know? Do y'all remember the DARE program?
Sure.
Drug Abuse Resistance Education. When I was growing up, we'd have DARE shirts. They would come to your class and light like something that smelled like marijuana.
I remember.
And then they'd tell you, even if you love your parents, it's
Narc
best.
Knock them out, kids.
Pretty much. They'd be like, just let a teacher know if you smell this smell in your home. So messed up.
Yeah.
Anyhow, did you know, during a DARE study, as a matter of fact, there have been 9 different studies on DARE. They did a study of those studies, and essentially all the DARE studies agree that the problem did nothing. And or I guess it's still happening because it says it in the present tense. The program does nothing or worsens the problem.
Yeah, they don't.
They changed the program now to like an anti-bullying
program. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I noticed that.
I'm not kidding you. They were just, think they realized, the drug gambit is up. We're never going to win this.
Someone was outside of
7-Eleven. Drugs won the war on drugs.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan, also giant piece of crap, might be the most dangerous and worst president we've ever had outside of Nixon. Actually, I'm going to say he's worse than, more dangerous than Nixon. We'll get to that another day. This is in CJ's Raw Wild Conspiracy Theories That Are Actually True and You Dumbass Conservatives Should Listen.
Whoa.
Instead, the segment is...
Is it over now?
You really railroaded us with...
Hey, what do you want to talk? The October surprise, Iran Contra affair, savings and loan scandal.
Let's talk about pixies. Did you know?
Did we know?
Pixie dust in Peter Pan was added later on because children reading the story would think they too could fly like Peter Pan. And apparently there was a rash of young children hurting themselves by trying to fly.
Do you remember the DARE commercials where they did PCP and like jumped out of a window?
Yeah.
Kids.
DARE stop bullying now.
We think it's video games and drugs. It was Peter Pan.
Pixie dust is kind of drug-like.
Also made them more okay with opening their windows to adult strangers, so we should ban Peter Pan.
Hey, let's go to Never Neverland.
Do you like pixies? Stop. Ooh, I thought I was going to do pics of these nuts on your chin. Can you tell my meds kicked in?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Okay, did you know my meds have kicked in? And did you know this is the greatest segment ever because...
Ronald Reagan made it happen.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Can you tell the meds just dropped off?
Oh, man, that was fast.
My meds are cocaine, by the way. Speaking of Reagan in the 80s.